Thank you, Ms. Thomas and Mr. Hoogland. Why? Exalted. Yeah. We praise the Lord this morning. Okay, good morning, everyone. We hope you had a good week, and we're ready for another week. We're going to read a scripture from Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. We've been studying, learning from this Exodus chapter 20. There's the Ten Commandments. Wow, we are on the ninth one, and it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness to your neighbor, against your neighbor." So this is what we want to learn from God's word, so we can be within the God's boundary, not to cross, not to prohibit. It has been prohibited to cross this line, and God has put the boundary within these Ten Commandments. So God wants to protect us this morning as well. We're going to teach our youngsters. That is great. So let's read a scripture. Well, there will be coming from the two passages, not only Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. There's another one. It's Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. And come to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Most of all the references that I referring to, or the passage by Bible scripture, is from English Standard Version. So let me read it for you. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." That was Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And second verse, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11 says, "You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another." Come to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So, New Old Testament, against your neighbor. New Testament, with his neighbor. So, as a one community, we have to be truthful to one another, as well as we have to be truthful to our Lord God. And this is the boundary that God has put around me and our community, so we can be within God's blessing, and we will be the one that call you are the child of God. Right, let us learn from this passage that we just read this morning. I just want to remind you how we came to this verse. It starts from chapter 20, verse 1. "I'm the one who saved you from slavery, from the land of slavery." That is the one, that Egypt, out of the house of slavery. "I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I saved you. I gave you blessings and grace. You have new relationship with me." So how we can have a good fellowship together once we are related together? As God asks, "You are my child." Verse 3, the first commandments out of 10 commandments, "You shall have no other gods before me." You are having fellowship with me. Just mean that no other God. I know you will be afraid, you have fear, all that. You want to have something else, so you're going to make some idol, but do not do that. Just like a relationship with Jesus Christ and church as a bride, you have only one partner. Just like your wife and your husband. Just one partner, just me. You don't need any other God, you don't need any image. It's out of, made out of all, from this earth, or beneath the water. the sky, anything. Do not do that. And that the consequence is those who hate me, that God will visit you with a curse, not only your generation, next generation, and third generation, because those who are have a tendency to hate our Lord God. Once they have a relationship, we have to keep that fellowship together as a community, as all generations all together. Grandparents, parents, our children, three generations. It is good that this is a strong, loving community who are God has protecting us from how to have a good fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So truthfully, we have to have a good, once you have a good fellowship, it has to be sincere and truthful, not to take our name of the Lord, our God, in vain, meaningless. But God is a powerful, mighty God, loving God. He is so gracious. So have that respect. How to do it? Regularly. On Sabbath day, just keep it holy. The require us to have this fellowship is the requirement is being holy. That's why we come to the presence of the Lord. We just pray to the Lord, Lord, I see, search me my heart, in my heart. Search in me, my heart. If there's anything iniquities, any wrongdoings, any immoral thoughts, just take it away. So regularly when we have worshiped the Lord, wow, we are saints. That is what God wants us to do. So when we focus on God, should we do something else? Listen to other music and working at your job? No, just solely you have. It's just one solid time that you are offering your whole thing. But in New Testament, every daily life, sacrifice is a living sacrifice. Your living sacrifice is not about the animal, the scapegoat. It's you yourself, wherever you are, whoever you are, at any time. Just offer to the Lord living sacrifice. So when we read these Ten Commandments, it's really with the New Testament. It just helps us understand these short words. These Ten Commandments, what does it mean? Well, there's a profound meaning behind God's word. Yes. There's a transition area, which is God put parents and family instead of God. Just like he has all, parents has all the authoritative, all the respect from their parents. Because God put parents in the place of God. God has an authoritative, absolute truth. According to God's word, Father, you have to teach your own children at home. And then they will honor you, respect you, how you have dealt with us, how you raised us, how you loved us, just like what God has commanded them to raise their own children. There is where we have the honor from their own children. You see the transition? We have to honor our God daily, every moment, to worship the Lord, but daily, all those children, they learn what is authoritative figure. Then they can relate to God. Oh, just like my father, you are my spiritual father. They learn that at home. Why do they have to learn at home? Not only at church or temple. Once you learn that, then they can live in the society with their authoritative God's word. That is the Verse 13, you shall not murder. We are created in the image of God. Think about everyone, every brothers and sisters. They are created in the image of God. How dare you can premeditate and intentionally kill the person who are living being created by our God. We could do, if you see that God is authoritative and absolute truth, then we can't do that. That's how the process, you see the, how it has proceeded to the, until the 10th. That is the sixth commandment. Seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Actually, in Hebrew, it's just two words. There's a conjugation, so that's why we can interpret it, translate it in so many words, but there's only two words. Lo means no, negative, tnipa, do not commit adultery. Do not think about that visual image. Do not think about as a woman has a mental image. Think about image of cross. Whenever we're looking at the screen, think about the image of cross. That is how we can win over this immorality. And eighth one, you shall not steal. We shall not steal. And come to the ninth one, is today's passage. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Against your neighbor, you shall not intentionally kill your neighbor. You can't even commit adultery. You cannot steal anything from your neighbor. But not only that, that you have to be truthful. Bear false witness is prohibited. I just draw some picture how this whole Ten Commandments we can understand. As you can see, there's a circle that is the radius within God's boundary. God wants to protect us. So come inside. The way I put the limitation or boundary, well, in a positive way, once you are within God's truth, within God's blessing, you are within my radius, my boundary, that I can protect you. Once you fall out of truth, that's why I don't want you to cross that line. So it says it's a prohibition. This is a limitation. You can go further down, because if you fall off truth, there is a falsehood. So stay within this boundary. That's what we call Ten Commandments. Within that radius of God's blessing, there's abundant God's love that we can enjoy. That's why we think about it in a negative way. This is a prohibition. This is limitation. Think about it in a positive way. God wants to protect us. God wants us to enjoy God's protection. He is my shelter. He is my refuge. He wants to protect me, love me within God's truth, within God's word. So we have to align with God's word. Accordingly, God's word, we live, we walk with the Lord. Wow, that's what is significant. You know what? The reason that I picked up these Ten Commandments is not only during COVID-19 crisis, pandemic, but prior to that era, there was a tendency, right after I graduated from seminary, all the professors has prophesied that American Christianity will be plateau and will decline. The church will close. What does that mean? Our children will never hear what is Ten Commandments. I think you have heard Ten Commandments many, many times, but our youngsters have not heard it because they were outside of God's protection. They don't come to church. Where would they learn Ten Commandments? They only learn evolution. That's why I picked it up. And God is still there to teach us that I still love you. I want to protect you. You know this broken world. Just stay inside God's word. So let's have some true and false question. Yahweh is not God. True or false? Christ is not a great savior. True or false? If you believe in Christ, you will never going to be saved. It is foolish to follow God's counsel. God's word is unreliable. Relativism, subjectivism. Everybody says there's no absolute truth. Is it false or true? Another question, does God lie? It's related to this passage. What is the answer? No? Is it that no answer is true or false? I think youngsters were confused because it's relativism. It's subjectivism. God's word is not an absolute truth. Well, I think God can lie. Well, that's what I think. That's my opinion. Let's see what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless does not keep the Ten Commandments. One is by the activity of Satan. He was enticed by the Satan. What I'm doing is, this is according to Satan. With all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. They will all die. Why? What is the reason? What is the whole thing is happening right here? Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. If you love the truth, you'll be saved. But therefore, God sent them a strong delusion. It didn't say directly God is lying. It says strong delusion. God sent so that they may believe what is false. What is reason in order to punish them, in order that all may be condemned, those lawless persons. God said, do not cross that line. This is a prohibition. This is a limitation. Within me, you will be saved. You are safe. In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. The truth. But had pleasure, lawlessness, unrighteousness. We have done a trial and error. Once we have damaged or destroyed my life, then they come to sense, wow, God's word is absolute truth. That's too late. So it's very dangerous. We have to be very careful with God's truth. God's truth. With reverent heart, read the scripture. If we read in reverent heart, you can ask all the questions, you're going to have the wrong answers. So at the end of this age, God will ordain, and God is ordained, God has ordained a strong delusion as part of the punishment for refusing to love the truth. God sends strong delusion. There's always trial and temptation, so we have to stick with God's word. We'll not be shaken by. We have to stay within God's protection. Example, how about, you know, Judas, there was deceptive kiss of Pietro. Wow, that is a deception, right? Lord, I love you, kiss Jesus Christ. This is the guy you're looking for. Put him on the cross, kill him. In order for us to be saved. That is redemptive history, but there was deception. God ordained this line for us to be saved. How about the deceptive sale? You know, the Joseph's brother just told his father, wow, did this wild animal kill your own son? No, they sold his own brother into slavery country, Egypt. Why is that happened? That was God had a plan ahead of time to save his own family. There is a salvation history behind this, all that, in order to God has planned Exodus from Egypt. Well, see, this is saying that God is not lying. He is superintending and all the good and evil. He's governing all things in the universe, including the sins of sinful man. So, the Bible says, the glory amidst God of Israel will not lie. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. So he can't lie. He is governing the whole universe to punish. See the what is justice, what is right, what is true, what is false. God is doing all this. So we have to be very careful because of God's truth and for our safety. So we shall not lie. We have to be truthful. Do not forsake the love of the truth, as we read the Thessalonians. So we see the answer. Does God lie? He ordained lying. Is happening within those people who are lawless. So we have to be very careful. Am I speaking the truth? Am I lying? We have to be very careful with this God's truth. Wow. So, stay within God's boundary, which is God's protection. But this within radius, prohibition, limitations, so we can keep from being swept away by competing with these waves of the world, philosophies. At school, at work, at home, on the screen. Stay within Ten Commandments, God's protection. While summer, there's a wave you can see. You can enjoy the wave, you know. When you go to the Virginia Beach or Sandbridge Beach, yeah, it's beautiful. It's wave. But if that is a reality of our lives, you know, there will be so many shaking around my life. So I need God's protection. So what is how God has protected us? What is His boundary that is protecting us? Let's see in three verses that we read this morning. As we remember, I just wanted to remember this picture. Once you, at the end of worship, as you know, going back to your home, think about this image. Am I within this circle? That's the only thing you have to remember. So this is a visual aid that will help you to remember. This is Ten Commandments, boundary. Two words, Ten Commandments and boundaries. Well, we read it, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You know, we studied Exodus chapter 20. I'm sure that youngsters, they remember. I'm going to ask them this morning, where is the Ten Commandments written in the Bible? Hopefully they remember, because we have learned this, you know, about 10 weeks. They should remember, you know, find the passage where it says Ten Commandments. Oh, Pastor, it's in Exodus 20. Now, today is verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against. It says false witness. Eyewitness. This is about lawsuit. This is about the court system. Do you remember the eye for eye, tooth for tooth? We remember that passage is Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18. It talks about it. It talks about the within the boundary of the court system. In ancient time, at the lawsuit, you have to have at least two or three eyewitnesses to see that who is telling the truth, who is telling the lie. Okay, if you have given a false witness and this person executed, have kept the punishment, but that your eyewitness, that statement was false, what's going to happen? You're going to have the same punishment that you have given to this person. You're going to have the same punishment that is capital punishment. That's what it means, eye to eye, eye for eye, tooth to tooth. Because of your false statement, they were sentenced to capital punishment. Everybody found out that he was speaking the false, that you're going to have the same punishment that you have given. You know, so when there's capital punishment, usually use a stone, and you are the one, the eyewitness, you are the first person to throw that rock at that person because you are the eyewitness. The same rock will come back to comes back to him because you stated false witness. False statement. That is how we have to remain in this God's truth. We have to be true. That much was very important. Because we are, at this day, we are looking for all the evidences. The first foremost good evidence was eyewitness. So we have to be careful about what we say. So it's talking about the lawsuit within court system that was given to this community. But not only that, when we come to the Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, it's a code of conduct. It's a code of conduct. Not only at the lawsuit, at the court, but everyday life, what we say. In our conversation, we have to be truthful at all time with everyone. And come to New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, 25, it was about me, our daily life, everything, your integrity. It's not only your words, what you say, but in how you live your life. Don't even give them an impression, the false impression, with your silence. Word or body language, the way you live your life has to be truthful. So we know that this old saying that everyone, you know, your grandparents and your parents is telling you that honesty is the best policy. That is indeed. It is better to tell the truth than to tell a lie, no matter the consequences. You know the consequences? You know, because we lie because you don't want to get caught, right? Wow, the policeman, you pulled you over, you know, side of the road, on the highway, you speeded, and you, what are you going to do? It's temporarily, quick fix, you know. I didn't see that. I didn't aware of that. There was speed. You know, I didn't see that one. I think I pushed it, you know, I was, you know, putting on the brake, but my cruise control was not working. There are so many. No matter the consequences, best policy is to be honest. Yeah. So, court system, code of conduct, in your heart, in your language, or in your life, your body language, whatever, it's all, everything is included. We have to be truthful. So what is the result of all this? Because we know the point of this ninth commandments. So what is the consequences? What is the consequences? What does lying do to relationships? You know, this lying is involved with a relationship. You know, you're not honest. to other people or against our neighbor, there's no trust. First time, second time, third time, it was not true. Then I can't. Well, whatever he says it, I'm sorry, I had to think about second time. Is this right or is this true or false? There's no trust. If you break that trust, what's going to happen? I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. I love you. But that's what it is. It really breaks the relationship if we're being dishonest. So it's not just damaging our relationship. It destroys our relationship. That is the result of the whole thing, being untruthful. So it destroys the relationship with our Lord God. It destroys the relationship with your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, and anybody others, your neighbor. Not only that, it destroys within yourself dishonesty. Just really. As I said, you know, getting caught, that's why we just tell the lie. And you just want to impress other people. I know this so-and-so, but you don't really know that person. I know about the gadget. I know how to use it. You just want to show off. I know everything. I know this music. I know this classical music. You just say that because you lie because insecurity. I don't want them to find out that I am incompetent. That's something. That's why we do. There are so many reasons. I don't want to get into that. We know that because it's going to depress me. Wow. We are already depressed, right? Breaking destroying the relationship with God. It says it in Psalms chapter 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him. Pray to the Lord. Worship the Lord. Then God will near to you, to all who call on Him in truth." So that means God won't come close to me if we call Him falsely, in vain. We have to be truthful. So God and I have a near, intimate relationship. If I'm not truthful, if I don't confess the Lord, if I don't be clean, holy, then there is a damage, more than damage. That's, you know, oh, I can't feel God's presence. Oh, what is wrong with me? Lord, I need your presence. I need your answer. I need your love. I need your protection. Be truthful. Be truthful. See, we know the famous story about King David. He had commit adultery, Bathsheba, slept with, and after that he wanted to cover up whole thing. He killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. He committed adultery, and he premeditated and intentionally killed mother. What did he do? Psalm chapter 51, verse 6 says, "Behold, God, you desire, you want truth in the innermost being inside of me. Yes, Lord, I have done wrong. I'm sorry." Then your relationship will restore back, renewed. I have that abundant God's love. Wow. It's not where you worship. Maybe you worship offline or online. The matter of fact is, John chapter 4, verse 24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." In order for us that intimate relationship with God, do not break the relationship with God and fellowship with God. We have to be truthful. Worship. Wow. That is one of the results. And if we reverse that one, then we will have good relations because I am truthful. Not only against God, but against ourselves. Do you remember that the first story about the recording the first century church? They recorded this. The first thing it was recorded about instance of lying. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold their land, and they just told Peter, apostle, this is everything. I want to give it to the Lord. Is this everything? No, it wasn't. They take it back, and they lied, everything. But Peter said, you are not lying to me. You have lied to Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds, a profit of the land? Yeah, that was the first. It was written in Acts, the first church ever. It was about lying, not to be truthful. Wow. So what happened? Both husband and wife destroyed their life. Destroyed their life. It's not just damaged their reputation, they died on the side. Wow. So that is a result. See, you think about that, think about related to this, all those lying. That's why God wants to protect us. Protect us from destruction. Not only that, to other people. To other people. You know, when you go to, I never went to Israel, but there are deserts. You need water, right? Because you wanted to quench your thirsty, and you found the oasis. But there are so many people coming to get the water with their animals. If you let that animal walk on the water, this water will be polluted, right? Or urinated. You can't drink that water from that well, that spring. That's what it says it right here. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26. Like, just like a muddy spring and a polluted well, oasis, is like a righteous man who gives way, give up to the wicked person. Think about Abraham. He was a great man. He was a righteous man at that time. He lied to King Amalekah. Sarah, she is my sister. She is a sister, but actually as your wife. Because he was be afraid to, to die. Because she is so beautiful. And King Amalekah wanted to take away from Aaron. Aaron, he might kill me. So he just said, she is my sister. Beautiful. He lied. What happened? And Amalekah king said, why did you do that to me? To tempt me? The relationship with the king is just, there's dishonesty, there's no trust. But foremost, how about his wife? Own wife, Sarah. What would Sarah will think about? Wow, in my whole life, who is real man? I thought Abraham is my man. The relationship between the spouse is broken. It hurts, damage, but destroy her heart. My goodness. That's what is when we lie, we hurt other people. We hurt other people. It damages not only but destroy our lives, other lives, destroy the fellowship with our Lord God. So that's how much is so important. That's why God wants us to, within this boundary. Within. So how are we going to resolve this matter? We know the radius. We know the boundaries. We know the results of the whole thing. What is the solution? What is the gospel? What is God, Jesus Christ, can help me out of this mess? This habit of lying. How can I be stay truthful in the ways of this philosophy, the worldly philosophy? How can I be stay truthful, not even lying to anyone? Well, it says it speak the truth with his neighbor. Yeah, not think about lying, false witness, deal falsely. We know all that. We know all that. We know. Now come to the point, speak the truth in love. Oh, how we do it? That is how we can save myself. You know, God can save me from this mess. So result was, being dishonest, it destroys the relationship. But resolution is to speak the truth. It will renew our relationship. Right. Renew. So let us replace. Okay, this is what the Bible says. Ephesians, we just read 25 from chapter 4. Whole text is talking about replacement. Replacement. Renew. How we do it? It says in verse 22, to put off your old self. What is old self? Which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. It's all false. That is the old life, old self. Let's put off. So that way we can replace with new one. Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right, yeah, spirit of mind. Let's renew. Replace it with what? 24, and to put on, put off, and put on the new self, which is created in true. Verse 25, therefore, having put off falsehood, the lie, deceit, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. That is the context. Speak the truth. What does that mean? Let's replace with truthfulness. Instead of false witness in the court system, code of conduct, falsely, lying, all that is all nature. Deceitful desire. The desire after the wrong thing. That is deceit. Now we have deceit. Desire is a good one, but it says deceitful desire. But good desire is eager to speak the truth. Yeah, this is what has happened, mommy, at school. Well, that was awesome. Mommy, I did something wrong. Just pray for me. Help me. Just speak as it is. Wow. Speak the truth with your mom, with your father, children. So good. So how we do it? Let's apply it to our lives. Stay within God's radius. How we do it? Stay in a Christ-exalting, God-centered by believing church, see, I will come near to you if you call upon me in truth. So that's why we regularly worship the Lord. Yes. Sacrifice, living sacrifice, offering the living sacrifice. Yes, that's why we worship every Sunday, every day, every moment. Why? Being drifting away from the people. Being drifting away from the Word of God, you cannot see the folly of the world because God sent a strong delusion. You can't see the truth if you are away from the Word of God anymore because you are drifting away from the context in which God means to keep you and the boundary, protection, safety, security. Yes, that's why we worship the Lord. Do not break, do not damage a relationship with God. And secondly, be in the Word. Worshiping the Lord, study the Word every day. And plead with the Lord to help you see the truth. It says, Psalm 119, 119, 911, verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold, so I can see the wondrous things out of your words, Lord, prophet, proverbs, wisdom literature, all that. That's why we're having this great vacation Bible school. And even youth and young adults, we are having retreat. We are studying the Word. within these solid hours and days, we will emphasize and focus on God's word so we can see the truth, so we may grow. We can know the word, truth. We can experience the truth. Wow. I just found out that standing strong in today's battle for truth, that is this theme, 2023. Truth. Truth. Wow, what an awesome the word that we are learning through this vacation Bible school. Wow, awesome. That's great. The theme that for youth and young adult retreat is the real God, true God, that how God longing for us to see the true God, the real God. So let's ask everyone to come. Now, some people might think, oh, wow, that's not fun. That's not fun. So I hope none of them falling out of the boundary. So VBS and retreat is within boundary. Let's dig into God's word. And that is a fun. Wow. Encourage them to come. So conclusion, once you have experienced the true word of God, you will only speak truth. Not folly, not be foolish, not to be false witness, that you're going to have the capital punishment because you have put that eye for eye and foot for foot. Wow, was that serious? Not only false eyewitness, but dealt truthfully, have a good code of conduct. You learned it from your parents, within family, the boundaries, and society. You can show that, yeah, I respect this code of conduct. I follow you in every word I speak, in every how I live my life. So you can, your children will have good relationship with other people at work, at school, not only at family, at college. You teach them at school, at home, and at church. Then they will learn, they will earn the trust from their boss, their professors, whoever, their friends, because they'll always be sincere and genuine, transparent, and truthful, honest. Everyone loves your own children, surely. Not only you too. God will love you too. Wow. Sarah will love Abraham if Abraham was being truthful. Spouses, they love each other because they're honest person. Honest person. And they always speak the truth with their spouse, their children, with all the spiritual leaders, with congregation, all those friends at school. Wow, what a beautiful, abundant life you can live within God's protection. That is God's Ten Commandments. Youngster, have you ever heard Ten Commandments? Some people, let's take that out, Ten Commandments, at the court house, at the lobby. Most of people don't come to church to hear what's God's Ten Commandments. It's not a prohibition, it's protection. God's love. How can I keep from being swept away by competing with this false, the ways of the world, philosophy? Stand strong with God's word, this battle of this truth. Yes, indeed, indeed. Stay within God's boundary and think about this picture. Let us all pray. Let us all pray.